are we required to keep watchful for the rapture in order to have eternal salvation? That and much more is what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for tuning in. We're currently in a series called 100 Faith Alone Verses, which I'm very excited about. It's very cool. So this is based on a book by Dr. Bob Wilkin, which will be coming out before too long. So let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are going over some chapters from Bob's forthcoming book, 100 Faith Alone Verses. I don't know if you intend it to be an evangelistic book or a book to build up believers or both.
Yes.
Yes. The answer is yes. Because I can imagine, I mean, we get emails and calls and letters from people every day saying, I've never heard that salvation is really just by faith apart from works. Don't we need to do all kinds of other things in order to be saved? And this really comes as a surprise. And they're like, where is that in the Bible? I've never read that. I've never heard that. And so you've come up with 100 verses that teach salvation is by faith.
And today we're going to be looking at one that's in a context of the last days, dealing with the rapture and the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 5:10 is probably the strongest section in the New Testament on the rapture. We're going to be looking at the end of that 5:10 today, but I guess we'll start by reading 5, 8, 9, and 10 because they're all tied together.
Well, I mean, should we start by saying, what is this rapture? Not everyone believes in that.
Well, I think most of our listeners are familiar with the name Tim LaHaye and the Left Behind series.
Yeah.
He and Jerry Jenkins wrote a series of books about Left Behind, and they became a series of movies with Kurt Cameron about being left behind, and they would have people on an airplane, and they would be suddenly vanished with their clothes left there. And by the way, I think that was a fanciful idea that Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye came up with.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think we're leaving our clothes. But anyway,
I going to go up with my Wranglers?
I think you'll go up with your Wranglers or Levi's, either one.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe the Lord will give us new white garments as we're going or something.
Right,
The point is, the word rapture is not actually found in the Bible. The word that's found is caught up in 1 Thess 4:16 and 17.
Yeah.
In the Latin Bible, it's rapturo. So it is in the Latin Bible. But it basically, it's from the Greek word harpazo. We get the word harpoon from it. So it's like God is harpooning us and pulling us up to heaven. He's snatching us up. He's catching us up to heaven. And so the idea of the rapture, which is held by dispensationalists, but most people are not dispensationalists in evangelicalism today. So most people don't think that believers will be raptured before the tribulation. That's called pre-trib rapture. Some people think there will be a rapture in the middle of the tribulation, some before the wrath at the end of the tribulation. Most people don't even believe in a rapture or the tribulation.
Right.
They might not even believe in the millennium. Those are people who are called amillennial.
Right.
Or there are people who are postmillennial. Christ will return after a time of prosperity and blessing, 1,000 years or a figurative amount of time when righteousness is getting greater and greater on earth. And by the way, I don't see it.
I don't see that either. Just in case you think this is a very weird idea, I want to just remind you of a couple of examples of people who were caught up like that. Enoch is an example of someone who walked with God and he was caught up. Elijah,
same thing.
Chariots of fire came and took Elijah away. He was caught up bodily. And of course, Jesus ascended into heaven. I mean, the idea of God taking people directly into heaven is not biblically weird. It has happened before.
Right. And you have lots of examples that are similar to that, like Noah and his family on the ark.
Right.
Lot and his daughters and his wife who were taken out of Sodom before the destruction.
Right.
So you have lots of examples where calamity falls, but God saves people out of the calamity.
Saves people out of it. And so the idea is God is going to take the body of Christ. We are going to be caught up into the air. And we're going to avoid the tribulation.
Okay, now, here's my question, even though I wrote it.
Yeah.
How can this be a faith alone verse? Right, how can this verse be teaching that we have everlasting life by faith alone?
All right, well, let's read it.
8, 9, and 10, I guess.
But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him.
Okay, now, first of all, we who are of the day means that we're not of the night like unbelievers are. We are in our position, children of the light.
Right.
And we should live like children of the light. That's why he says, since we're of the day, let's be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Notice he's got faith, hope, and love. And the hope of salvation is not hope of salvation from hell. It's hope of salvation from the coming tribulation.
So biblically speaking, salvation isn't always, I mean, we tend to read the Bible and we think we see saved or we see salvation and we think heaven and hell. That's actually a rare meaning.
In the
for
New
salvation.
Testament, that's 3 times out of 10.
And in the Old Testament, probably
0.
Never.
Never. Right. And when you get to verse 9, God did not appoint us to wrath. He's talking about the tribulation there. And he says, but to obtain salvation, not salvation from hell, salvation from the tribulation, through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when he says God did not appoint us for wrath, he's talking about wrath that was going to fall soon during the tribulation. And notice earlier in chapter 5, he brings this out. There's a big discussion between they and we. Go back to, what is it, verse 3?
Verse 2, he's talking about this day of the Lord that's
okay.
coming as a thief in the night.
Right.
By the way, that's how we know that this is a special time that's coming.
Right.
Right. The day of the Lord, that's the context.
Right.
And he says, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape.
Notice all the emphasis on they,
he's
they,
talking
they.
About the other, not us, they.
The children of the night, the children of darkness, the people who don't have everlasting life, they are going to experience sudden destruction.
But you, brethren, verse 4, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. So now he's talking about what's true of his readers.
Right.
You're not in darkness. You are all sons of light and sons of the day, and we're not of the night nor of the darkness. So he's saying you are different, and so you're going to have a different outcome.
Right, and that should impact your daily living.
Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober.
Okay, now there's the moral component.
Right.
We should be not morally lethargic. We should be, and we talked about this when we were talking about Romans 13:11, but we are instead to be watchful and to be sober.
You know, one thing, just as an aside, one good thing I think of about this whole coronavirus quarantine and no one's allowed going to church is that suddenly a lot of people have realized, wow, I'm really passive when it comes to church. I can't depend upon a pastor or going to church in order to teach me the Bible. I need to teach myself the Bible. I need to teach my family the Bible.
Right.
Because I can't go to church right now. And a lot of people are realizing, wow, I've really been slacking off here. I've not really taken my own Christian faith seriously.
That's a good point.
You know? So we need to be wakeful, not sleepy.
Right. And he goes on, for those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober,
mm-hmm.
putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. And then he says, for God did not appoint us to wrath. Unlike them, he has not appointed us to the tribulation.
So he's not appointed us to experience wrath during the day of the Lord.
But that we would experience salvation. And so the salvation here is deliverance from the tribulation.
Well, it's the opposite of verse 3, right?
Right.
It's the opposite of the sudden destruction.
Absolutely. But notice who it is that experiences this salvation from the tribulation. Is this the believer that's watchful? Is this the believer that's sober? Is this the believer that's working hard for the Lord?
Well,
and so there's a partial rapture, and the believers who are really faithful are going to be raptured, and the rest are going to be left behind.
You know, that's what you'd expect. But wow, look what he says. Who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him.
Yeah, and by the way, wake is the same word used in verse 6 talking about watching. So it should be translated whether we watch or whether we sleep. Whether we're alert and we're sober and we're attentive and we're serving Christ faithfully, or whether we're morally lethargic, either way, we will live forever with him.
Mm.
This is a promise of eternal security. not contingent on our behavior. And in fact, Paul is using a different word for sleep here. It's kathudo, and it's different than the word used in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians to refer to the death of believers, okay. Koimao. Wiersbe says here, wake and sleep do not refer to alive and dead, as in 4:13-18. They mean respectively alert and careless. Christians should be living clean, dedicated lives when Christ comes. I like his point.
But whether we are alert or careless, you're going to live forever with
Jesus. Listen to what Tom Constable says in the Bible Knowledge Commentary on 1 Thessalonians 5:10. He says, what did Paul mean by whether we are awake or asleep? Did he mean whether we are alive or dead, or whether we are spiritually alert or lethargic? It seems that he meant the latter, because he used the same words for awake and asleep as he used in verse 6, where they clearly mean spiritually alert and spiritually lethargic. If so, then Paul's point is that Christians are assured of life together with him, whether they are spiritually watchful or not. That they might live with Christ was his purpose in dying for them. They will escape God's wrath whether they are watchful or not, 1:10. This is a powerful argument for a pre-trib rapture. So, which believers get raptured? All of them.
All of them.
Now, it's true that when you read these verses, you don't specifically see the term believer. Mm-hmm. But this is obviously the point if you read all of 1 Thessalonians
the
and 2 Thessalonians.
Us versus them. We're of the light. We're of the day. We're of this. So he's assuming that experience of them.
Even though the salvation he's talking about is salvation from the tribulation, since he goes on to say that we should live forever with him, that obviously means that whether we're awake or asleep, we are secure. Our eternal destiny is to be with him forever, and we can take consolation. This doesn't mean, of course, that there aren't consequences. If we're morally asleep at the time of Christ's return, then we're going to be ashamed of ourselves, 1 John 2:28. We're not going to have his approval. So let's endure that we might reign with him, 2 Timothy 2:12. Because don't we all long to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant?
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to be discussing Hebrews 10:10, so you're going to want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.